Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the world wide web. Listen, we are tickled pink to have you joining us here today. Welcome all those that are tuning in from Twitter and Facebook. Hey there. Certainly those that are listening in from Charvette.com and our mobile app and all of our broadcast stations. We thank you so much for checking us out here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. And I know you're following me. Aren't you following me? Listen. If you're not following me, go follow me. Twitter.com/Charvette, Facebook.com/Charvette, Instagram. Hey, I can't forget you guys. Charvette M on Instagram, certainly Periscope Charvette, all those great places. So let me tell you what we have lined up for you today. So in the first segment, my guest is hanging out in the virtual green room. I know he is enjoying some virtual snacks while he's waiting to come up to the mic. I'm really excited to have Pastor Alexander J. Patrick joining us. Listen, ministry birthed in him while he was away at college, Hampton, Sydney, and it did not stop. It continued to grow. He is now pastoring the pastor of Liberation Church along with his lovely dynamic wife, Lady Ashley Patrick. He is also a CEO and executive director for Liberation Family Services, a transition and rapid rehousing program. He has experience and expertise in all of that with management and economics, and he is here today to chat about his brand new book, spanking brand new book, published author, Why He Won't Marry You. Oh, my goodness. Why He Won't Marry You. A confessional on the male commitment crisis. So, listen, I've been putting it all on Facebook. People have been blowing it up and been sharing about it. So we're going to get into this conversation about relationships. But we want you to hang around because our second segment, I'm really delighted and honored to have a dynamic young lady from the Lynchburg area, Marcia Bennett. She's joining us. Listen, she calls herself the millennial game changer. She challenges us to course correct in life as many times as we need. She started her professional career as a high school history teacher. She's transitioned into entrepreneurship, taking that teaching and training along to help high-performing professionals. She has established Bennett Business Solutions, which is a firm providing leaders with required skills they need to excel. She's in the final stages of her PhD, and she's here to talk to us about her book, Are You In It to Win It? Now, we ain't talking about the game show now. Listen, Are You In It to Win It? 21 Ways to Win at the Game of Life. So this is what I want you to do. Jump on Twitter, jump on Facebook, jump on whatever you're listening to, whatever you're watching, wherever you are online, and tell them to check out the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Just send them right over to Charvette.com. All right, so let's go ahead and jump right on in. Our first guest again, Pastor, I call him Pastor J, Pastor J. Patrick. He is joining us. I am bringing him up to the mic right now on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Pastor J, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Charvette, for having me. It's an honor to be with you this evening. This show is amazing. You're doing an awesome job in the kingdom, and I'm humbled to be with you.
Amen. Thank you so much. It is an honor to have you. It is an honor. So let's jump right on in. So first, we have to talk about the title of this book, because I can assume, I can gather, I can think that some people might find it offensive or even off-putting. So how did you come to this title?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, the title is really, it is off-putting and it is a little misdirecting, because the book actually isn't about what's wrong with women. The title, Why He Won't Marry You, is actually a very layered conversation. There's many ways to approach it, and I think the natural knee-jerk reaction is this is just going to be a book telling women everything that's wrong about them. But that's really not the message that God wanted me to give, and that's really not the tone of the book. But at the same time, I think that controversy always sells.
Yes.
So, you know, so I think the edginess of the title, I think, did get people's attention and caused them to kind of give the book a chance. And I think that's all the book needs, because once you open it, you won't be able to put it down.
Absolutely, absolutely. And even the book dedication really just proves, you know, what you just said. I love how you dedicated the book to your son, Alex, and you make note that, you know, you're probably too young to understand everything that this book entails, but I'm writing it for your future wife in mind.
Yes.
I thought that was wonderful. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think that you know, the book really is catered toward, it really is catered for women. It's not a book against women. I think that, you know, this world is so set up, society is set up in such a way that there's many traps and snares set up for our youth in terms of how young men perceive women. Even if you listen to the music these days, you watch how young men are affirmed. It's all about how many girls they can get. It's all about, you know, really demeaning young women. So I wanted to write this book in a way that exposes that as an incorrect way to achieve affirmation, and it's really not proper. It's not the proper way that God would have his women, his daughters treated. So really, you know, I wrote this book with my son in mind, his future wife, and all the young women that are in this nation and across the world that may read the book.
Fabulous. And so let me just say, you know, we are putting a general disclaimer out, listeners. These are the opinions of myself and Pastor Jay Patrick. These are, you know, these are our opinions. So if you have different opinions, that's okay. It's all good. It's
right.
My show. So we just want to put those disclaimers out. All right. So the intro and what I actually put on Facebook and what I shared about this particular segment was around questions that potentially women all across the country, different women, not all women, but all across the country may be asking. One, where are all the single men? The good ones, where are they? And two, why don't they want to get married? So that's a big audacious task for you to tackle. Talk a little bit about why you chose to do that and how your book helps with that.
Yeah, well, you know, as a pastor, you know, I come across, I do a lot of speaking engagements and pastor locally and, you know, and do a lot of community leadership. And, you know, what I find very, 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 very commonly is young women that are professional, they are spiritual, they're saved, they're, you know, in their church, they have everything going for themselves, but the only thing and the only problem that they typically find is that they can't find their equal. You know, there's no men that seem to be available that are in the church, that are, you know, ready to settle down as they are, and ready to begin that second or that third chapter of their life. You know, so I really feel like there's just a disconnect between the amount of capable, ready, qualified, strong women that have all the right stuff. You know, there's really no flaw in their character, but they just don't have seemingly the option to settle down because they can't find where the men are. You know, and so I think the second part to that is, you know, why don't the men want to get married? I think the two kind of work together because, you know, there's a perception that men have that conflicts with the perspective that women have. So a woman that's typically past 25, right, she starts to envision this biological clock that's ticking, right? She's running out of time in her mind,
yeah.
right? Like, she doesn't have
right.
any children yet. You know, she doesn't. She's not married yet. She's constantly going to baby showers. She's constantly the bridesmaid, you know, the bridesmaid, and you know that gets old, right? And she just
mm-hmm.
kind of feels like, when is it gonna be my time? When is it gonna, you know, when am I gonna be able to start again this next chapter of my life? And the problem is that from a male perspective, a man that's past 25 years old sees that whole dynamic totally differently. Right, because he doesn't necessarily
yeah.
feel like he's running out of time. He feels like he has plenty of time, right? And he sees marriage as kind of closing him in, where the female sees marriage as opening her up. And so
wow.
he kind of so even if he's available, a lot
mm-hmm.
of men still reject the notion of marriage. They kind of reject the concept of marriage because it tells them, it speaks to them that basically your life is over. You're going to have to be monogamous for the rest of your life. You don't have anything else to look forward to. There's no more spontaneity. There's really no more affirmation from the male perspective. So I think that is, you know, kind of the issue is, number one, there is a drastically different number or a reduction in the number of men to women, but also the available men that are there, they don't see
mm-hmm.
marriage in the same way that women see it.
And what is so interesting is that this dynamic and what you've explained is equally the same in the church, outside of the church. It's the same, you know. It's like
yes.
Christianity
yes.
doesn't necessarily add an extra layer or extra help there. Is that
right.
what you've seen as well?
That's absolutely the truth.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't shift. The dynamic is pretty much the same across the board, and really nobody's talking about it. It's kind of just accepted as
yeah.
the way it is, right? You know, when men are amongst themselves, there's no conversation around changing that mindset. It's just we almost feed that mindset, right? You know, you getting married? Oh man, you know, man, don't do it. You know, that's kind of the conversation amongst men, and there's no one in the room saying, "Hey man, you know that's a good woman. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, she'll be the best thing that ever happened to you." Like, you know, like there's not a lot of those conversations happening. And, you know, the same with women. The conversation is, you know, girl, I can't wait to get married. I can't wait to settle down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's pushed, you know, to the point where women actually feel pressure to get married because all her friends are getting married. And that's the status. You know, but from a male perspective, it's the exact opposite, and nobody's talking about it, so I decided to talk about it.
Well, we salute you for talking about it, because often women, we will talk about relationships all day long, and typically
yeah.
a man that's not going to be a topic at the top of their list. So we appreciate
mm-hmm.
you for talking about
mm-hmm.
it. While listeners are tuned in, tell them how they can get a hold of and a copy of your book.
Yes, you can get a copy of the book at my website, jaypatrick.org. That's jaypatrick.org, and that's patrick.org. Or you can order it on Amazon.
All right, there you go. There you have it. There are the ways to get the book. Okay, so let's talk about how you have the book broken down. I'd love to kind of touch on a couple of the chapters that you have in the book. So the first chapter, interestingly enough, the way you open up the book is the first chapter is called The Locker Room. And what was interesting to me in that first chapter is how men want acceptance just as much as women want acceptance. You want to talk a little
yes.
bit, and that's what I got out of it. Let me know if my interpretation was wrong, but talk a little bit about the locker room.
yeah. Well, again, when I wanted to kind of tell this story and kind of break down the psychology of how men get to this way of thinking, I had to go all the way back to our teenage years. right? I had to go all the way back to the locker room. And no matter what man reads this book, they're going to be able to identify with chapter one, because every last one of us has been in that position where we've been in the locker room and there's just locker room talk. And what you'll find is that in the locker room, what happens is a lot of guys put on masks. Okay, we absorb personalities that really don't fit us, but we'll put on that personality just to be accepted, just to be one of the guys. And the problem with that is when you combine that with puberty and all the other things that are going on, what you did at one point to just be accepted eventually becomes a behavioral habit that you actually enjoy. And then before you know it, you'll look up and you'll actually have a borderline addiction of something that you only entertain just to be accepted. But it got a hook in you after you kept dabbling with it for too long.
My goodness. Oh, my goodness. Okay, y'all are getting the inside scoop right here. Y'all are getting the inside scoop. So that's kind of how that what that talks about. Let's move on to chapter two, Learning to Hunt. And there was a great quote I'd love for you to just kind of, or I guess a comment I should say, in this chapter that snagged my attention, talking about the illusion of attraction. And so I thought that, number one, was just interesting. But you talk about the illusion of attraction. It's sort of like choosing the right bait. You put cheese on the mouse trap, and the mouse smells the cheese and follows it. So a man's job, or the young man's job in this case, is around making the cheese smell so good that the mouse will ignore the trap.
Yes.
A lot of people feel trapped.
Oh, goodness.
Don't shout at me.
Yeah. Well, it's just real talk, Chauvette. I mean, you know, again, once we figure it out in the locker room is where we typically learn. We learn, okay, what's the report card for being a young man, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that, you know, I'm not talking about math, science, and algebra, but what are the things as a young man that get me the high fives, that get me the acceptance that I'm looking for? And once we figure it out, then we go right after it. And one of those things, quite frankly, is, again, how you relate to the opposite sex. So, you know, once you figure that out, then you got to get good at it. You know, you got to become a hunter. There's a skill to it. There's a skill to attracting women really with no intention of being committed, right? And that's kind of the concept, is, you know, it's the illusion of attraction. It's not really something, and you know, I don't want to get too deep into the book, but the truth is that, yes, young men learn how to create an illusion of attraction. And a lot of those young men, again, they grow up to be womanizers, and they don't even know why.
Wow.
They don't even realize why. You know, I can't tell you how many young men I've counseled that have really blew it with great women, like really, really great women, and they blew it, and they couldn't even explain why. Man, I just don't know what happened. I don't know why I did what I did, but I know why you did what you did, okay? Because there's a paper trail. There's a paper trail to these behaviors, you know? And so, it's an illusion. It's a learned behavior. And a lot of young men, even right now as we're talking, are trying to figure out, how do I get a girl's attention? What's the right cologne to wear? What's the right shoes to wear? You know, what's the right thing to say? And that's really the game that we play.
My goodness. And so the hunt, and we hear often, you know, men are hunters, so let him hunt.
Yeah.
Don't you reverse the role. Is that accurate? So you'll hear people say, don't reverse the role. He's the hunter. You are to be hunted. So when you hunt him, then you're taking over his job. Is that part of an issue as well?
Well, you definitely add another layer to the conversation of hunting. Yes, it is a part of it. But here's the problem with the hunting that I'm talking about is really unmastered, immature hunting. A man is wired to hunt. It's in his nature to hunt. But what's happening in what I'm talking about in the book is a young man that hasn't mastered the hunt, because when you really, the more mature you are as a hunter, you don't fool with small game. You will have your skills at such a level that you go for the big score, right? And that should be your wife, right? But a lot of men, they just like the game of the hunt. Right, they like the sport of it. Am I making any sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
because catch and release, which is the next chapter, talk about the fishing and the hunting, which ties right into this, the catch and release, that they're fish that are just throwback fish. They're never intended to be kept. They're just throwback. So that's stepping on some toes, and that's kind of, that can kind of hurt.
Yeah, well, Chavette, honestly, like, that's my ministry. I don't really know how to, I'm never disrespectful, and I'm never, I came up in the, in the apostolic way, and so,
yes.
I understand order, and I understand, being respectful, and I understand all of that. But at the same time, my ministry is one of transparency, and I think that's where real healing is. That's where real hope is in just being honest. And I know I stepped on some people's toes. I stepped on my own toes, if I'm honest, there's a little bit of William in all of us. There's a little bit of Rebecca in all of us, And so, I know that I stepped on some toes, but please receive it in love. For those that are listening, that are considering getting the book, receive it in love. It's all about health, and it's all about bringing back healthy relationships and bringing this thing full circle. It's really not about calling you out. It's just about bringing you out.
Absolutely. I love that. It's not about calling you out. It is about bringing you out. But it's good. It is all good. Listeners, you want to get a copy of the book, Why He Won't Marry You, a confessional on the male commitment crisis. Pastor Jay, tell them one more time how they can pick up a copy.
Yes, you can get the book on my website. It's jaypatrick.org. Or you can purchase the book on Amazon.com.
All right, there you have it. Your personal invitation right there to pick up a copy of the book. And so then you go on, certainly, there are several other chapters in the book. I do want to stick a pin in the wake-up call chapter dealing with exes, because I think a lot of times people have struggle with a past relationship they've been in or an ex. And there was a thought in the book that snagged my attention again, and it said it can be intimidating to know that a new relationship, if your ex has a new relationship, may erase your memory and may eliminate your access. Is that just on the male part? Is that on the female part? Talk a little bit about that.
I think that's a universal truth. To be honest, I think that's male and female. And I think it gets us in a lot of trouble, because a lot of times we're in a relationship with someone that we really don't want anymore, but we just don't want anybody else to have them, and that's a real dangerous place to be in, because, it allows you to stay just close enough that they have access to you. when you really should have cut the cord a long time ago. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to alleviate some of the pain that you are anticipating feeling by seeing them with someone else, by, you know, well, maybe, you know, I don't want to put in all this work and then they change and now somebody else is going to get the, you know, the benefits of all the hard work I put in. Yeah. And so, therefore, because we don't want to let go of this, you know, this improvement project we've had, you know, we will stay just close enough, you know, so that we can, they can still have access to us and we can still have access to them. When in your heart of hearts, you know the relationship was over years ago.
Whoa. Yes, and so, and then the thing about it, then it hinders both parties because you can't really, whoever is operating like this, they can't really move on, and then it's hard for the other person to move on, in particular if the other person did want to be with you. So that gives them a air of hope. They're thinking that they have hope when really it's just you don't want your memory to be erased and your access to be eliminated, but you don't really want to go any further with them. Ooh. Okay, so, oh my goodness, our time has flown. So I'd love to have you give, I know, right? I'd love to have you give maybe three just general tips you would give for women. I'm going to start with women and we're going to end with men. Just three general tips for women who may have tuned in and said, I want it. You know, and I feel like you have definitely given great guidance addressing some of the questions. But three suggestions or tips for women who want a good, healthy relationship, and three tips for men.
Okay. All right. Well, first I would say to women, you know, protect your womb. And what I mean by that is that the core of a woman's being, the core of a woman's being is her womb. Okay, it's where everything flows from. It's where a birth flows from. It's where her spiritual womb is, where her productivity comes from. It's the place of her spirit that really only two people should have access to, and that's God, and that's the man that God intended to be her husband. Now, you know, along through life, a woman is going to engage several men that are going to try to occupy that space. And oftentimes, because someone else had access to that space and misused it or abused it, then that space becomes more and more vulnerable and more open because she's just trying to fill it. She's trying to make up for all of the pain that she's felt and not realizing that she's allowing more and more contamination into her womb. And what I would say to that woman is, you know, that once you're reading through this book, you're going to get some real good insights into how this thing works from the male perspective and how this thing works from your perspective. And you have a role to play. Okay, you have a role to play. Again, protect your womb and hold men accountable. Hold men accountable. He's going to access every part of your being that you allow him to access. He has no brakes. You have to apply the brakes. You have to hold up the standard to say this is not acceptable. This is not something that I'm going to allow, because the more you allow it, the more polluted your womb becomes. And then the next relationship is going to be damaged, and the next relationship is going to be damaged. And you won't have a healthy relationship until your womb is healed again. And you can't have a healthy womb until you start blocking some of the contaminants that you're allowing to access it.
Whoa. My God, this is Oprah's life class right here, you guys. This is OWN Network life class worthy right here. Wow. Okay, that's awesome, Pastor Jay. To the men, what do you say to the men?
Yeah, I'm going to be quick because I know we're running out of time. But for the men, I would say don't waste your seed, right? And and that may sound you can look at that in a lot of different ways, but just the same way as a woman has a womb that is designed to be productive, is designed to carry life, is designed to multiply for her, the man has a seed. And what oftentimes we do as men and as we are growing up is we don't value our seed. We don't put a value on it, not realizing that your seed is your staple of productivity and multiplication in the earth. And if you spill it all over the place and you waste it all over the place, you devalue your multiplication. You devalue your seed. You devalue your name in the earth. So what I would say to the men is that protect your seed. It's valuable, and it only belongs to a womb that's worthy.
Wow. Oh, my goodness, listeners. There you have it right there. My goodness. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We have to have you back, Pastor Jay. We have to have you back. And I have to say, all of my relationship shows, you guys, those that have been listening for years to me, you all know the caliber of relationship experts that we bring on the show. And it seems like, Pastor Jay, when after I have had some relationship experts, in particular men, they blow up. Mm-hmm. Let me give you case in point, listeners. Rob Hill Sr., he is a relationship expert. He's now dating LaToya Luckett, who is on TV One. He's out in L.A. doing big things. Jack Daniels, he was on the show 4 or 5 times. He's on the FYI channel as a relationship expert on one of their reality shows. So these are the types of experts we bring. So certainly we're glad that we grabbed you so we can later on say, and we had Pastor Jay Patrick on our show as well. One last time, let listeners know how they can pick up a copy of the book and all of the connection points, because you're on Periscope and all that good stuff. Tell them all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So jaypatrick.org, jaypatrick.org is my personal website. You can go on there and you can get the book. I also do singles boot camps. I do a singles wisdom boot camp. If you're interested, there's a booking form on my website. I can come to your city. You just got to get me there, but I'll come there and I'll do a singles boot camp for you. Also, I'm on Periscope at Mr. Serving Change, Jay Patrick or Mr. Serving Change. And you can follow me on Facebook at Jay Patrick, J-A-Y Patrick, P-A-T-R-I-C-K. I would love to connect with you. I offer daily content, and I just would thank you mostly if you would appreciate connecting with us at our ministry. So thank you so much. Thank you, Charvette, for having me. It's just been an honor, and I'm very, very humbled.
Oh, it's my honor. And shout out to Lady Ashley. Thank you so, so much. Always thank you. All right, listeners, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back with our second segment. Don't you move. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back. Don't move. Right back.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1.
Soldier, do you see many conquering territories that you imagine only in your dreams and vision? Well, listen up, because this is about to change. Hi, I am Apostle Olive C. Brown, creator of Fire Up Your Faith, a program that will teach you how to overcome barriers to your assignment, your career, and your purpose. Now, all of us have a desire to succeed, and in Fire Up Your Faith, I am going to show you how to go higher as an eagle and win. If you have a phone, that is virtually all you need to get started. The program is for a week, April 12th through May 3rd. Go to ocbrownministry.com and be prepared to be shocked and awed. Looking to hear from you.
Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day by LaTanya Boyd, consists of inspirational messages that offer daily words of empowerment, promote spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ for your day-to-day living. Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day, available now on Kindle, ebook, and paperback. Log on to www.letiboyd.com.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right. Welcome back. Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for all those that are tuned in, those that are hanging out on the phone lines. Hey, I'm waving. How y'all guys doing? Thanks for those that are tuning in from Twitter, twitter.com/Charvette. Those that are coming in from Facebook, hello. Certainly those coming in from Charvette.com and all of our broadcast stations, we appreciate you. So we're jumping right on into our next segment. My lovely guest has been hanging out in the virtual green room. I know she's been enjoying some snacks while she is in there, and she is here to talk to us. Listen, are you in it to win it? That's what we need to know in this second segment. And I believe you're hanging out with us. I believe you are. We're delighted to have Marcia Bennett joining us. Oh, my goodness, author of Are You In It to Win It? 21 Ways to Win at the Game of Life. She's called the Millennial Game Changer, and she's here with us today. I'm bringing her up to the mic right now, live on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Hello, Marcia Bennett. Welcome.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty fast.
You're doing great? All right. We might be having a little technical difficulty. Let's see here. Okay, great. Can you hear me good?
Yes, I can.
Okay, perfect. There we go. All right. Well, first of all, welcome to the show. Really glad to be able to connect with you on air.
Absolutely. I'm excited.
All right. So let's jump in. I talked a little bit earlier how your career started off really in education, a high school history teacher before you transitioned into entrepreneurship. What did that teach you? Certainly, I'm sure you have some war stories, some funny stories about being a high school history teacher.
Absolutely. The number one thing I always say is that young people just want us to listen to them. And once I left high school, I wanted to be listened to as well, you know. So I really resonated and connected with my students like that.
Wonderful. And so let's talk about really what your mission, what is the goal of, you know, what you want to do, you know, for young professionals.
The number one thing I always say is, and you see me post it a lot, winning is definitely not easy, but losing is very expensive.
I
run into young professionals all the time, you know, the stories about going to college, you know, not getting the opportunities that they thought that they were going to get. And I always say you just have to keep pushing, because the number one characteristic I say I possess is resiliency. And if you don't know how to bounce back, you can't keep going.
Absolutely. And with the millennials, you target millennials. And actually, how did you get the title Millennial Game Changer? There may be some people listening even saying, I don't even know what a millennial is. Can you break it down for us?
Absolutely. So millennials are Generation Y. That's the proper term, but they got a new name later on, born after like 84, about 2000. And I never really thought about it either until I started connecting in the professional world, and everyone was a lot older than me. So I said, well, wait a minute, I'm not a Generation Xer, right? I'm definitely not a baby boomer. I'm a millennial. And I just liked the way it sounded. It had a lot of pop to it. So I was thinking of a really nice, you know, catchy way, and I thought game changer. That's what I really want to do. I want to change the game. And that's where the book comes in, talking about the rules of the game.
Yeah, because you say it's not enough to want to win at the game of life. You must have a strategy to win.
Yes.
You must have a strategy to win.
Yes.
And so do you find that people, they want to win, but they just don't have strategies?
Absolutely. Because of clarity. Lack of clarity equals lack of strategy usually.
And you know what? One time I looked up the word strategy because I was using it a lot, and I thought that the word was a business term. I thought that it came from corporate America, and but I sat down and I looked up the word strategy, and it's actually a military term.
Yes, it is.
So you know, and so that is that. Those of you that may be listening, corporate America stole it from the military, and so because we are up for you have to fight to win. Do you have to fight
That's
to
right.
win?
That's right. Yeah. I would say when I used to teach Greek history, right, you always teach about the military strategy. And then I started reflecting back on how every time I studied a war, they always had a plan. They had a strategy. They had a game plan. And then I brought it to modern-day society, and I would say, wait a second. When you go play basketball, don't you know the rules of the game? You can't win if you don't play. And that's how I kind of connected with the kids then. You know, I tried to take something that was ancient in history and make it modern.
I love that. I love that. And so you in the book, Are You In It to Win It, which I mentioned earlier, we're not talking about the game show, but,
no.
you know, if that helps you remember the title of the book, holla, you know, anything works. But 21 Ways to Win at the Game of Life. So can you give us a couple? We want listeners, we want you to go pick up the book, but can you share a couple nuggets, a few of the 21 ways?
Well, my personal favorites are effort, mastering your self-assurance, learning that change is consistent, knowing your core values, and being persistent.
Change is consistent. Talk a little
that
bit about that, because that might
consistent
be
thing.
That is the only change is the only thing that's consistent. People might say that I'm trying to So anticipate change, right?
That's right. If you think it's always going to be the same and then it changes, that throws you off your game, right? That throws you off of your strategy or your plan. So you have to plan for the fact that things are going to change in your personal life, in your professional life, in your relationships, in your health. Things will change.
But change. I don't like change. Change is not easy. It's not comfortable. I'm talking for, you know,
what some
of our listeners may say.
So what I teach is that in order to really, truly conquer success, you have to embrace change. And it's one of those things where you have to prepare for it. You know, you got to kind of train your mind. You know how they say, I go to the gym and I work out and I train. I always say your mind is the first place you train. Then you go train in the gym. It's kind of like it's mind over matter.
Mind over matter. All right. And talk a little bit about that inner work. A lot of this is really like work you have to do on the inside, right? It doesn't even have to do with anybody else.
No, it's all self-reflection, self-awareness, learning who you are, what you want, what you believe in, saying yes to yourself and not everybody else, or saying yes to what everyone else wants for you and neglecting to say what you really want for yourself. I always say these are the hardest questions you have to ask yourself, and they're even the more hard questions you have to answer truthfully.
Yeah, that's the thing, the answer. That's the thing. In the book, I like how you say we're often presented with opportunities to grow either professionally or personally, but our limiting beliefs prevent us from capitalizing on those moments. What are examples of limiting beliefs? What is a limiting belief, and what are examples of that?
Okay, a limiting belief is you don't think you can really achieve whatever the opportunity is because of something most likely in the past that has happened to you. So let me give you two examples. One would be, I cannot make honor roll because I've never made honor roll before. That's a limiting belief. Another one would be, well, I can't make six figures because I've never seen six figures before. So what's holding the person back, truly what I'm finding is because it's never happened. That's a limiting belief. So the strategy becomes how to overcome the limiting belief.
And to say, and if the limiting belief is just around what I've never experienced it before, a lot of times adults, not so much kids, because kids are really literal, younger kids, but adults, we go off of what is our relative experiences. What have we experienced or seen experienced is what we go off of, where kids will just, you know, if you say a monkey can fly, a kid will, they don't care if they've seen that before or not. They will believe
it.
Okay, so tell us more nuggets from the book.
So another one I like is fail forward. I'm one of those people, I used to be so afraid of failing, and I always am a recovering perfectionist, and I run into a lot of recovering perfectionists. Sometimes the word that they use is I'm an achiever, I'm an overachiever, right? When you're an overachiever, you're basically always protecting yourself to not fail because you fear judgment from others. But that high expectation that you place on yourself not to fail, that takes so much longer for you to really achieve what you want because you're always trying to not fail. Failures, your mistakes are the biggest lessons.
That's so good. I saw a quote on Facebook related to that. Gentleman was talking, and he was talking about products, people that create like virtual products, and he said if your first product you put out was perfect, you waited too late to put it out.
Exactly.
So it's that, you know, you perfected. He was like, you took too long. You waited too late to put it out. You put it out and then you correct. So failing forward, what is that forward piece with that?
So once you fail, you have two choices. You can stay right there or you can keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
Those who really excel keep going. People who give up, they just stop.
People who give up, they just stop, and
they don't keep going.
And do you think we can learn from every failure?
Absolutely. Every failure is a lesson. The key is, do you see the lesson right then, or do you see it 2-3 years down the line?
Now that's good.
Yes.
Whoa. And so is that what makes that's what makes really, I think, the difference in people that are really, really good leaders and champions is that they see the lesson sooner.
Mm-hmm. And not only the lesson, but they come up with a solution for why it happened and how not to, you know, basically course correct and not have it happen again.
Now, course correct, and I love that because I said in your bio earlier that you challenge us to course correct in life many times. So, yeah, because talk a little bit about that part.
So course correcting is the proverbial, I'm going to do this when I'm 18 and by 30, it'll be just like this and it's a straight line. We all know that it's probably not going to happen, right? You're going to have a lot of different bumps and challenges in the road. So when you meet those obstacles, when you run into those challenges, you have to course correct because some people keep going straight for the problem and that's when they end up with more problems. As you course correct, you find solutions and you keep moving forward.
All right, there you have it. Listeners, you're getting some really good advice here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Tell listeners how they can get a hold of you online and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. I'm on Twitter at Enlighten4Life, and it's the number 4. Also, you can come to my website. I have some really awesome resources, like for success habits. Of course, you know I'm the productivity person, Charvette, so...
Yes, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I love that. So that's at BennettBusinessSolutions.com, and it's BennettT, and then BusinessSolutions.com.
Wonderful. And so, yeah, so you do, I've connected with you on Facebook in one of your productivity organization, which is all, I think, plays a part in your productivity. And so how did you get into that organizing and productivity and you're having a great, you know, organized space to help people?
Sometimes we overlook our natural gifts in life. And so I always used to take it for granted that I'm naturally organized, that I'm very time efficient, and, you know, I'm just pretty productive on average. So I thought, well, why don't I demonstrate not only how I can do it, but how I can show other people how to do it, because I run into people all the time who it looks like, you know, they're so frazzled and overwhelmed, and I have, like, maybe 2 simple solutions for them, and all of a sudden they just, like, they have, you know, like their face just changes and they're relaxed, and it's all because I'm just sharing with them, you know, typical habits and strategies that I've tried and they work.
And you can actually even come to a space and like visually say these are the things that you should change and move and organize, and they will help you be more productive.
Absolutely. Primarily based on your current lifestyle and the lifestyle you want to live.
Now, would you say you are, would some people, well, some people might even say, is that like interior design? Is that different? How is that different from interior design?
It's different from interior design because I'm not actually really putting, you know, curtains and, you know, really making it look aesthetically pleasing. It's more like you say about the inner game. For example, if you wake up and you keep hitting your alarm clock over and over, we have to figure out why. Okay. If you go in the
wait
kitchen,
a minute, raises hashtag raises hand. That is me. I hit the snooze 100 times. Oh, my God, am I telling on myself?
That's so awesome. A lot of times when I work with people and getting organized, it's more of mental and emotional things versus physical material items. Mm-hmm. Some people have a hard time letting, you know, personal things go. Some people, like, you know, the whole I want more time, so you have to figure out the why. I always say if you don't really know the why, you're going to eventually fall back into that habit.
Who knew that hitting the snooze was so much more deeper than hitting the snooze?
Look, who knew that when you come in the house and you put your shoes by the door versus somebody who goes and puts everything up in the closet, it's really deeper than what it appears.
Wow. Wow. So tell listeners if they're wanting some more of that kind of organization and productivity tips, how to get into that Facebook group that you have.
All right, the Facebook group is called Lifestyle and Organization Inspiration. All they have to do is, you know, type it in the search bar, and then I will add them. You know that I'm in there a lot, always giving you know, a lot of tips on home organization, laundry. People love the laundry stuff.
Yes.
And then sometimes, you know, even like I say, the mindset stuff, you know, doing personal development things. It all kind of goes together, but that's my whole goal, is to kind of, you know, walk you through it and show you how it's done.
Okay, wonderful. And so you do seminars, you do one-on-one coaching. Do you have any seminars that are coming up? Or I know you said you have some great materials and resources on your website. Should they just
absolutely
keep up with you that way?
Yes, okay. On the website, BennettBusinessSolutions.com, we are starting the 7-day In It to Win It Challenge. And so over the course of 7 days, I'm going to be sending all these awesome things that I cover in the book. And then at the very end, people will be entered into an opportunity to get a free signed copy of the book.
Okay, so they enter for the 7-day, and challenges are really popular these days, listeners. So they're really great ways for you to get some great resources and tips. And is the challenge complimentary, or is it a paid challenge?
It's complimentary.
Okay, so there you even more incentive, listeners. And
there
so walk them through the 7 days. Will you send basically an email with instructions each day for 7 days?
Yeah, so every day it'll be an email with either an exercise or a self-reflecting concept. So day one is what does winning mean to you? That's pretty profound. Then day two, talk about how to set your intentions. Day three, identifying your core values. You know, I'm big on core values. Day four, basically becoming fascinated with learning. Day five, how much is effort costing you? And then day six is pushing through adversity. And my favorite one, the last day, you have to know your why.
You have to know your why.
You have to know
your
why.
Wonderful. Okay, so how do they sign up for the challenge again?
Okay, go to www.BennettBusinessSolutions.com.
All right, there you go. Get in the challenge. Get in the challenge and get some great content, great information that'll help you. And would you say your book is, and really the challenge, the book and the challenge, are you targeting millennials? Is this for everyone? Is this just for business owners? Like, who is this good for?
I would say it's good for people who are looking for ways to excel and accelerate at a faster pace than what they're doing right now. So that could be a solopreneur, an entrepreneur, someone who's looking for a career transition even, and then, of course, millennials.
All right, that millennial group, we can't leave you out. The millennial game changer cannot leave you out. Great. And so I know your book is available on Amazon as well, right?
Absolutely. It's available in the e-version, copy, and also the paperback.
Okay, so listeners, you have options. And how, let's recap again as well, how they can connect with you online.
Okay, they can join the Facebook group. It's Lifestyle and Organization Inspiration. That's the name of the group. And follow me on Twitter at Enlightened4Life, and that's ENLIGHTEN, four, the number four, and then life.
All right, there you have it. So I always love for my guests to kind of end with tips. And if you listen to the last segment, Pastor Jay gave some wonderful relationship tips for men and for women. Yes, wasn't he awesome? All right, so ending kind of your wrapping up your segment, maybe three tips for, like you said, that person that's saying, you know, I just want to, I feel like I could be going faster, I could be doing more, and, you know, I just want to really want to win at the game of life. Three tips that you would give that person, that listener.
First tip is you have to practice on focusing, because the life we live now, there are a lot of distractions, so you have a lot of interruptions, so you really have to focus on what it is you really want. And then two, I would say practicing setting what I would call realistic goals, but complementing those realistic goals with boundaries. Because sometimes we allow people to move off of our game because we are accommodating them and not saying yes to ourselves.
Ooh, that's good.
and then the last one, I love affirmations, right? I have them everywhere. With the TV show, me and Mary Jane, she has them all over the okay. Well,
yeah.
Good, but you just need about two or three and stick to those two or three.
Now, what are some of your favorite? What are your favorite affirmations? You know, I'm going to put you on the spot, so you know.
Okay, my favorite one of all time is, okay, you ready for this?
Yes.
Success looks good on me.
Oh, that's good. Success looks good on me. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, look in the
okay.
mirror.
You got to look in the mirror. You got to look. Let me give you a cheat. Let me give you a cheat way to look in the mirror, listeners, and people won't know you're looking in the mirror. If you pick up your mobile phone and go to your camera, they're just going to think you're scrolling, looking on Facebook, checking your text, checking your calendar, and you're actually looking at your, you know, you got to turn the camera that's facing you, you know. You know how to do that, right? So you got to do that. That's an easy way to look, check yourself out in the mirror or say your affirmations in the mirror, whichever one you are doing, and people won't know. They'll just think you're checking your calendar. So tip. Okay, the last question I have for you. The goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and we want to know what continues to motivate you.
The capacity to believe this following statement, okay? There is more to life than you can see if you believe.
Awesome. That's motivating. That is motivating. Well, awesome. Well, it has been great having you on the show, Marcia Bennett, Lynchburg, Virginia. I'm so glad to have you. You know, we connected online, and then we met in person at a conference or two. Which is, you know, often I don't get to actually meet the person I'm interviewing, but we've met, and so just great and glad to have you on the show. So we'll have to have you back when you have your next book come out.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you for stopping by. All right, listeners, guess what? That is going to be a wrap for today's show. Thank you so much to those who have been hanging out on the phone lines. We're waving at you. Hello. Thank you, and big shout out to our sponsors, LaTanya Boyd. If you have a book, if you've written a book, she is so many things, a marketing strategist, a book publisher, a book publicist. So LaTanya Boyd, check her out. We played her commercial earlier. Certainly, if you are in business and ministry, have a nonprofit, an event, you need a website, ladies and gentlemen. And so, shameless plug, you want to check out Mitchell Productions Web Design. You can just head right over to charvettemitchell.com for all of our web design services there and social media coaching. And then certainly, if you missed any portion of this show and you think somebody else needs to hear this, you can send them to charvette.com. All of our shows turn into podcasts, and you can go back and search and listen to them. Whistle while you work. Some of you may be listening right now to one of our replays and one of our podcasts, and we say hello and thank you so much. So follow me on Twitter, twitter.com. facebook.com/Charvette. Let's connect on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. Just click on the follow button. Click on the follow button right there. We're certainly on Instagram at Charvette M. We're there. And also Periscope, Charvette. So we just kept it really simple and really easy for you. Next week's show is going to be phenomenal. So you definitely want to check it out. You definitely want to check it out. And certainly all of our guests, support them. Go purchase their books, find them on Amazon, comment on the post if you listened, if you heard a nugget. That supports people. That helps people. You know, when you're doing something, you want somebody, you want to get some feedback, you want to get some reaction. So do that for our guests, won't you? I request that you do that for our guests. All right, so we're wrapping up. Thank you so much for checking us out here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We appreciate you, and we're going to see you guys next week. Same place, same time. Peace out. Bye.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you've been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Catch Charvette Mitchell every Tuesday at 6 p.m. interviewing all the stars you want to hear from. So until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. This is the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.